Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's another wonderful day to have a podcast. I'm with my beautiful friends, Pia and Colin. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you.
Good. We're good.
Yeah. How's things around the world? How's things going around the world?
Pretty shaky everywhere, I'd say. Lots of shadows being revealed, lots of geological stress seams bursting, lots of people changing viewpoints. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So the things that I thought we should talk about today are all those things you just mentioned.
Okay.
So I thought, well, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, division, and a lot of that. And then we have all the new energy that's coming in as well. All that Schumann resonance, all that plasma energy that's coming in that is definitely, asking for integration, right? We have to integrate it into our physical body. So more ascension symptoms coming in. And so there's that. And then I wanted to talk about, what do you feel about the shortages? And the shortages that are going on all over the place. So, and also wanting to find out what Larkma is talking about right now, as far as this time that we're in. So I'm pretty open. I think we should just start wherever you feel called to the topics that are close to you right now.
I feel called to talk to you about the shortages and what Larkma says about what's going on. They just spent a tremendous amount of time on yesterday's International Life Call, answering a question where several somebodies kept asking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And Larkma pointed out that there is no way that they can predict what's going to happen because of human choice and the choices that we individually, collectively make. And at the same time, they pointed out the overlay of the energies as they see them progressing. And they have told us for years, always make sure you have a supply of food, you have a supply of water, you have a supply of blankets and flashlights, anything that you need for survival, make sure you have a supply. They've also told us for a very long time that everything is going to fall apart because you cannot create something new until the old disintegrates and falls apart. So I think one of our major jobs right now is to hold people's hands and help them not be afraid of what we're going through. Help them to learn to trust that if we work together, we can face anything instead of being afraid of what does that mean, what's going to happen. So in terms of shortages, pay attention to what is going on. If you see certain items are disappearing, stock up a little bit. That kind of just paying attention is really important right now. But saying, oh my gosh, what if we run out of this or that? It's not really productive. Just pay attention and act accordingly in the present and always have extra on hand for you and your neighbors.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there's just so much, you know, there's so much of it on social media right now. You know, after a while, it can become, you know, a fear driver as well. And so, you know, I have my own personal threshold when it comes to these kinds of things. And again, after a while, it just kind of like you have to kind of like, you know, say no to that and come back to your inner center. And again, not act from a place of fear, but from a place of empowerment.
And that is right to, again, look at how you're feeling. How are you feeling right now? How are you contributing right now with your energy? And then, you know, making sure that you have what it is that you need, not from a place of fear, but from a place of knowing that you are going to be taken care of, that you can trust, and that you have everything that you need.
Your listeners may or may not know this, but we do not subscribe to any social media platforms. We withdrew everything from Facebook quite some time ago because, well, of two reasons. One reason is because it's a major spy tool, and we don't appreciate that. It's not just a form of communication. And the other reason we have withdrawn from social media is exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's like having 15 people sitting around in a circle, and you whisper something to one person, and by the time it gets back around, it's completely different. And social media shapes and changes things according to the energy that builds up as things spread through the air. It's not always a positive influence, and it does, as you just said, create fear sometimes where fear is not necessary.
Right. Yeah. And it just, you know, because it's like, again, when those kinds of messages get influenced and everybody starts acting upon that, then they're acting out of their fear. Right. And that's the whole point, is that we, you know, we have to, again, bring it back to our consciousness and bring it back to our internal place, and then live and act from there, because that's everything that we're doing, is raising the consciousness and empowerment of the people. And, you know, this is what we're doing here, right?
Everything both of you are talking about is extremely important right now, because if we get mired down, if we get completely focused on what's not working, that puts us in a position where we feel we have to be against something, because if it's not working, we don't want it. We don't want to be around it. We don't want to be part of it. And that is unfortunately connecting to creating the same energy that's causing the problem in the first place. What we have to do is what you said, Cornelia, a few minutes ago. We have to be positive. We have to be in a state of mind and a state of heart, both combined, where we're positively creating what we want and how we want it, which is different than the old paradigm. The old paradigm, and it's not just a paradigm, it's many paradigms. We have to consciously, as both of you just mentioned, put ourselves in a place where we realize that no matter what happens, we will be okay as long as we stay in our hearts, because that's the only safe place we have. In the heart is the place where we will be perfectly fine. We will get through all of these changes, all of these things that are challenging or problematic. They're challenging and problematic on purpose, because we have to change what has been going on for such a long time. And the equation that we have to be involved with is realizing that all of the old things that don't work, and frankly haven't worked for a long time, but we haven't admitted that they weren't working very well. We were just going along. It's time that we begin earnestly to create a much different atmosphere, a much different sense of community, a much different way of relating to what happens to us. I read something yesterday or this morning, I can't remember. The time for me is just turning into an elastic plastic commodity. I don't really know where I am, when I am much anymore, but very recently, I just read an article that talked about a classic Greco-Roman philosophy, and it was called Stoicism. And I know everybody knows what the word Stoic means, but this ancient and classic philosophy about Stoicism was all about not living in an illusory world, not living in a fantasy world, but living in a reality that is right here, right now. In my words, I'm going to paraphrase what I read. What's smacking you in the face right now? What is here to show you what we need to do, how we need to do it, and how we can change things by facing the real, true reality as it is right now. And that article really made me realize that so many people are simply in an illusionary state where they're hoping we're going to go back to normalcy. And we're never going to go back to normalcy. It's never going to happen.
It's not even intended to happen.
And I would say, thank goodness we're not going back to normalcy, because it really wasn't where we wanted to be in the first place. So I'm trying to combine what both of you have been talking about being in the present moment, looking at things as they come to us as an experience, not as a problem, not as a reactionary stance, but taking what comes to us as it is and using our ability to make choices consciously to be able to deal with whatever that is that we're facing. And if we do that individually and collectively, we're going to create a completely different place, a completely different atmosphere.
And I would add on to that, that any birth process by its very nature is chaotic and uncomfortable. The expectancy is full of the unknown. And people who are saying, I want us to get back to normal, are trying to go back into the womb. They want to go back into something that is not promoting growth. But being in a pregnant state, something new is coming forward, is by nature, it's chaotic and it's uncomfortable. And we have to go through this in order to get where we are intended to be. It's the mission we signed up for.
And we can.
Yes,
that's the other thing, is that we can. We're fully, absolutely capable of, are you kidding? Right? And again, everything that both of you said, people want to go back to normalcy. They want to go back to being in their comfort zone.
Yes.
And right now, nobody's comfortable. Everyone is challenged, and we're up for the challenge. And so when like you said, the problems present themselves, or the challenge presents themselves, we have the ability in the moment then to come to our inner peace, to our inner temple. What's the inner communication that is happening? And how do you want to approach this situation with your consciousness to how do you want to be? And it's a perfect opportunity for you to embody your faith and your trust, to know that when the challenge comes, that this is how I'm going to respond to it, because I know it's not comfortable, yet the influence that I'm bringing into the quantum field, into this energy, is undeniable faith and trust into this moment, and I'm riding this wave.
Yep. And that's an enormous, that realization that we can do that and we are doing that is an enormous leap from thinking that we're powerless, or thinking that whatever the controlling factors are will never let us make our own decisions or let us redesign the world that we choose to live in. So it's an enormous way of understanding that we have incredible power. We have incredible creative abilities. And one of the most important things that Pia and I see, and we talk about this all the time, is the ability to work around. Instead of seeing something that appears to be a brick wall or a concrete wall, or some insurmountable blockage, instead of seeing that as something we cannot go beyond, what we need to do is simply work around it. There's always, go ahead.
Something that water teaches us. We are water beings. Water knows how to flow under, over, around, through. if we just recognize the power inherent in our very water, it helps us to be able to imagine that there will be a way around it, even if we can't see it right now. One of my favorite sayings was given to me by someone a long time ago. If we come to the edge of a cliff and you can't see any way over it, either you have to trust that when you make that leap, which we are making, either our feet are going to land on the ground or we'll be taught how to fly. And that's where we are right now. We are at the edge of the cliff, knowing that we have to leap. And instead of holding back and being afraid of, uh-oh, what if I hit bottom? We have to just open-armed and trust and just go, trusting that either we will land safely or we'll be taught how to fly, one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what, this is like the, you know, the shift of the ages of what we are now experiencing at this time on this planet that we came for. We came for this. Like when we were talking about the shortages, right, in the store, and all the systems that are no longer working, and like the food that we've been consuming that hasn't been good for us, right? Everything that needs to be reorganized and redone, you know, we're in the middle of that right now. And so that we can, again, then set up a system, supplies, the food that is good for us. And so we've been a society that was based on consumerism and consuming. And, you know, we're going back to connecting with nature and the simplicity of living life. When I talk to people, they tell me, you know, how much they love watching, like, you know, movies that where it's like The Little House on the Prairie, those kinds of movies. And the reason why people love that is because those were the days when life was really simple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moving into this new era that we're moving into, you know, we want the simplicity. We want the intuitive. We want to have more free time. We want to connect more with nature. We want these new ways of living and being, but we have to first, you know, like you said, allow for the other parts to fall apart while at the same time knowing we got this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It, you know, going back to nature, which we should have never left in the first place, that is our true home. That is our true basis. We have sped ourselves up so remarkably over the past 200 to 300 years. It's amazing. Technology has allowed us to continue to move forward and to speed up our lives. It just, each new invention, which we're told will make our lives easier, and coincidentally, we were told it would give us more free time, that has not come about. The more we are basically completely reliant on technology, the less time we have for ourselves and for recreation and for regeneration.
And the more we're sped up.
Because each new invention causes us to want more. We want more magic. We want more ability to do more things more quickly and accomplish more in a much faster way. And that is absolutely the opposite of the way we were designed. We were designed to be much slower. We were designed to take time, to be quiet, be contemplative, be meditative, take care of ourselves in ways that we have forgotten to do at this point in our evolution or our de-evolution. And I think we've almost gotten to the point where if we don't turn that around, society will collapse on itself because we can't keep going in the direction that we're going. It's impossible. We can't. Our psyches have not moved forward in an alignment with our technological development. Our psyches are still wanting to be telepathic, to be shapeshifters, to be natural beings. So our psyches have not run at the same speed that our technological advancements have brought our physical bodies. And that disconnect, that imbalance, is absolutely harmful to us. So if we can become much slower and much more involved in quiet activities, serenity, peacefulness, meditative, meditative endeavors, we will regain all of those things, not by going back to normalcy, but going back to who we were really supposed to be. And I think it's incredibly important that we begin that reversal.
Yeah, I think that's exactly going back to what we were originally designed to be. And we have to give ourselves permission to have that experience. And the only way that we're going to do that is by being willing. I wrote it down because I want to be able to title this video later with what we're talking about. But we were designed to be much slower, to be contemplative, and to take our time. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Now, feel that. I mean, really feel that in your life. We were designed to be much slower when everyone is speeding up and rushing around, acting like they don't have any time for anything, and continuing on to keep doing that more and more, instead of going, huh, what is this situation really showing me here? What does my soul want to experience here? And, you know, starting that conversation, like, what do I really want? What do I really need? And when we ask those questions, what do I really need? The being is going to answer, I need time, I need space. And when the being says, I need time and I need space, then be the steward of setting up that environment for yourself and creating that space for yourself, because no one is going to do it for you, right? We're the ones that have to make these choices, and we can.
Cornelia, we have two books and a calendar out there that are based on this principle. My book, Sacred Retreat, is all about slowing down and integrating that slowness into our everyday, that there's a time for hurrying and doing things, and there's a time for slowing and integrating what we've done. Because before you can start the next cycle, you have to integrate what you've already gone through. The book Cullen and I wrote, Pleiad and Earth Energy Astrology, is also about that. It's about the important energy of 13, which represents integration. And you cannot integrate anything if you don't slow down to allow space for it to be absorbed and looked at, contemplated, and really digested. Then when you've had that period of rest and integration, then you're ready to begin a new cycle. That's what the Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology book, my book, Sacred Retreat, and the Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar are all about. They're all about helping people to recognize that we have allowed this fast pace to run our lives, rather than saying, hold it, this doesn't feel good. I'm not accomplishing what I need to. I'm not caring for myself. I don't have time with my children, whatever it may be. If we don't recreate that natural space ourselves, we've lost a lot.
You know, I know I've shared this with you, Cornelia, personally, and I think we've talked about this having conversations with your audiences, but it's a very short, tiny little story. When Pia and I met, when we were getting to know each other, she said something really profound to me. She said, Cullen, I'm only interested in simple and deep. And
yes.
When she said that to me, I really loved it. And I really realized that that could be a cornerstone, or that could be a really great understanding of what's important in our lives, simple and deep. And Pia and I have tried to, and I think pretty successfully, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
We have been pretty good at living that philosophy. And it has helped us slow down. It has helped us realize what our spirits and what our souls really do want. And I think if people could adopt that feeling or that understanding that simple is way better than complex and deep is way better than complicated. And if
or surface,
of course.
Yeah.
If we could put that in a foremost way in the way we live our lives, both individually and collectively, I think it would make a great difference in the way the world and societies work and are able to create a better world for all of us.
Well, if everyone right now that's listening or later, you're listening later, if you're resonating with the simple and deep, it would be of so much value to you if you would set that intention that I'm going to live my life simple and deep. That's it. It's just really that way. And then, you know, align with it and, you know, experience. This is what we all want. We all want to return to simplicity, but because we're faced with so much, so many things that it's hard for the mental body, the mind, to make sense of all of it. That's why, like, one of the things that I've recently done to my schedule, you guys are going to laugh, is we're all busy, right? We're busy creating our new earth. We've got interviews, we've got people, we've got, you know, lots of things that we're doing. And so every day on my schedule, I wrote into the schedule, this is not walking time, this is not exercise time, but every day I wrote in K time. And K time, Cornelia time, is 2 hours in the schedule every single day for K time. And when that K time, so when I'm looking at the schedule and then I'm like, what time is it? It's K time. And so what does that mean? That means that right now I have 2 hours of no schedule whatsoever. And I get to ask my inner self, what would you like to experience now? What would you like to do? Just to be. And it's been such a fun way for me during this whole busy time period to actually make that a priority. Also on the schedule, it's in the schedule. And when the time comes, it's K time. That means I can do whatever it is that I want. If I want to lay down and take a nap, if I want to go for a walk, if I want to take a bath, if I want to read a book, if I want to clean out a closet. But that K time is just to be experienced in the moment when I ask the question.
That's the perfect way of integrating and scheduling a sacred retreat time for yourself, and you're doing it on a daily basis. Some people do well with scheduling it every day like that at a certain time. Other people do well with beginning to listen to the inner need, listening to the body and the inner need, and putting the mind aside. You have certain appointments that are scheduled, but you leave open spaces throughout your day. And in any of those open spaces, you can create, this is what I need right now. I'm in favor of that model for me because I need more flexibility and fluidity in my life. So rather than having a scheduled time that I do it, I leave gaps where I can take advantage of that. Or in one of the gaps, I can say, I'm not taking advantage of that. I'm catching up on this. So there's several places in there that I'm either going to work or I'm going to listen to my intuition and my body and what I need to do to integrate what's going on. And Cullen and I are finding that in the way that we're searching for deeper levels of simple and deep,
yeah,
is more fluidity that we can allow in our schedules by creating spaces that will allow for that kind of flexibility, the deeper we can go and the more fluid we can be with whatever we're needed to do.
Yeah, this is beautiful. It's mm-hmm. beautiful. And for everyone to, you know, look at what works for you. That's the whole point, is that you get to look at what works for you, but that you actually make it, you know, be curious about it in your life so that you can experience this new way of living and being. Because yes, we all way that this is going to play out is if more of us, those of you that are brave and courageous, that are out there, that are, you know, looking to have a simpler life, start making space now so that we can have that, so that you can have it as an experience and integrate it in your life, right? Because you're the one that is the designer. You're the one that is the creator. And I love the piece, Pia, you brought this up before, The Sacred Retreat. Now, is that the book that people can get on your website, or where is it that they get that book, The Sacred Retreat?
It's published by Inner Traditions, and you can get it on the Inner Traditions website. You can find it at Books A Million, Book Depository, Barnes & Noble. Any major bookstore, you can find it. It's published, it's in Chinese and Italian now, so if any of the listeners speak Chinese or Italian, it's available there. It's become a globally well-respected book. So I think that it is instrumental in helping us to understand the importance of why we need to slow down and integrate, and how we got out of balance with that harmonic necessity anyway.
Yes, yes.
Everybody who's called to it will enjoy it.
Yes. I'm sorry, Colin. Let me just say, The Sacred Retreat is something that everyone can go get now and experience over these winter months, and go into a sacred retreat and begin 2022 having had that experience, and then live it in your life. What were you going to say, Colin?
Well, that I want to comment on what you just said. That is a perfect, absolutely perfect time in the Northern Hemisphere, going into winter as we are, using Pia's book and the ideas in her book to understand how important retreat is. Using the winter time is probably the absolute perfect environment to do that very thing. So thank you for suggesting that in that way. That's great.
One of the things the book points out is that we are beings that are made of cycles that go through us all the time. They're 360-something cycles that happen on a daily basis. Women are very instrumental in understanding cyclical nature because of a monthly cycle that happens organically. But men have cycles too, just as much. They're just not as recognized publicly. So while women can share from a personal experience how this benefits if you honor your cyclical nature, men have it within them too. And they, I think, need more than ever to honor the fact that maybe they don't have to be exactly doing everything the same way consistently every day. Maybe it's okay to be a little bit flexible and do something to retreat themselves in the way that feels right to them. It's about putting both genders back in harmony with nature.
And I think this is what I was going to say a minute ago. Because we're so sped up, we don't often listen to what our bodies need. And our bodies are very good at telling us what they need. It's just that we don't listen very well. If we're tired, we need to take a break. The whole new policy or regime of working with computers has caused people to stay in a seated position all day long, 8, 10, 12 hours a day without stopping, sometimes not even stopping to eat, because what they're doing is either so important because of the pressure of their job that you must get this done, or recreationally because people want a break from using the computer just for work.
Or because they're locked down and have been socially distanced, and the only way they can connect is through the computer. There's that element as well.
So what I'm proposing here is that people begin to more carefully and thoroughly listen to what their bodies are telling them. When you're tired, take a break. When you're hungry, eat. We've been trained to eat 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And people stop what they're doing usually at those times, whether they're hungry or not, and they eat. And Pia and I have done an incredible amount of research over the years about nutrition and the body's need for food. And what we've come up with, and it's not a new idea. It's been around for
an ancient idea.
It's been around forever. But eating only when you're hungry and eating only in a certain amount of hours per day and allowing your digestive system to have a rest.
An integration period.
If we eat three times a day and we eat snacks in between, we never give our poor digestive system a time to regenerate and to relax.
And that causes all kinds of diseases and imbalances to spring up, because the body is constantly churning in activity with the digestive system while the mind is pushing the body further physically, and there's no rest anywhere.
Well, remember that the digestive system communicates with the mind. So yes. That's already. But as soon as we eat something, the body says, how do I get rid of it? Immediately, yeah. You know, it's like as soon as you put it in, and giving the body a break and rest to actually digest. So even, stopping your meals, don't eat a big meal and then go to bed. You know, give yourself time in the evening before mm-hmm. you have, before you go to bed, so that the digestion process can actually begin. Mm-hmm. So that when you do go to bed, that you then actually can have a decent night's sleep, because your body isn't working on digestion now. You're actually laying the body down to rest yep. and repair and renew. And it certainly, I don't think it would hurt anyone if people, did a little bit of intermittent fasting and, chose not to break their fast right away, in the morning when they're programmed to eat, because when people said, I have to eat breakfast now, I have to eat lunch, I have to eat dinner. And then always, every time when we eat, I've learned this through my own education there, that listening to my body. And that is, every time when we eat, it raises our insulin level. Mm-hmm. Every time we eat, it raises our insulin. So you want to be able to, you mentioned the word balance, Pia. Everything has to be balanced out. We have to balance everything again, and all the experiences that we're having, and to, bring our blood sugar and to bring our everything back to a balance and a calm, by not constantly having to figure out how to get rid of this, right?
The constant eating, whether you're hungry or not, just because society has deemed it's time to eat, has caused an epidemic of insulin resistance, which leads to obesity. And there is obesity all over the world now because of this pattern of, it's time to eat, so I'm going to eat. And often what's eaten is not healthy. It's, I've got to eat, but I don't have time, so I'll just grab some fast food. Or I'm just going to eat a couple of pastries. That's all I've got time for, or a candy bar. So the problem is compounded not only by feeding the system when it's not hungry, but it's compounded by poor choices of food. And those two things together are causing an epidemic of insulin resistance. I don't mean diabetes, which is on the same spectrum, but it's at a different scale. Mm-hmm. I mean insulin resistance, where people can't lose weight, where they do everything they think right, but they can't figure out why they're not losing weight.
Right. Yeah. So in all the things that we talked about earlier when we opened the show, all the systems and the things that need to change, this is also one of them.
Yes,
absolutely.
This is something that needs to change. And so we need to, educate more. We need to talk about this more. It's amazing how organically this came up in our conversation today. And so it's a perfect time to really take that into your sacred retreat with Pia's book, and then take a look at, what you're consuming and what you're eating, so that you can, again, prepare your temple, your inner temple, for, sustainability and vitality and repair and regeneration, rather than piling it full of all of these unconscious behaviors and things that don't serve your body, right?
You said something really key, Cornelia. You said in a sacred retreat, consider what you're taking in. That not only applies to food and drink, that also applies to what are you taking in that's going on in the outer world? What kind of movies are you watching? Are you watching horror films or are you watching something uplifting? What are you listening to? Are you listening to heavy metal and disruptive music or are you listening to something that calms the system? It's not just about food and drink, although that is of primary importance. It's also about what I'm taking in terms of thinking, what I'm taking in terms of what I watch, what I'm taking in terms of what I read, what I listen to. It's all of it.
And the people we choose to be around.
Yep.
Because if we're not aligning ourselves with like-hearted people, if we're in relationships or situations where there is tension or there is an argumentative atmosphere, we are pulling in energy that is not harmonious to us or the other person. And everything, as Pia said, that we allow in or out, it's also about how we speak, the tones we use, the way we treat people or the way we treat animals, the way we treat every energy outside of ourselves. We have to be extremely careful about what we do and how we do it, because it not only affects us, it affects everyone else in our energy field, but it ripples out further
it's
and further.
Connected. It's all connected. If you make choices about what you take in, some of those choices can include violence without you even thinking or knowing about it. If you go to the grocery store and you mindlessly pick up something to cook for dinner and you don't think about how that item got there, what was involved in producing that food, you're taking in the violence that occurred to get that food on the food shelf. Therefore, if you're taking that in, you might find yourself being a little snappy and a little angrier more than you need to be to other people, because you're taking in that energy. So Cullen's exactly right. It's not only about what we take in, but what we take in does strongly affect what we put out.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. You know, like what we take in. Does anybody ever contemplate what we take in? Just that question. Take that into your meditation. What am I taking in? And watch and see what you're going to see. I'm taking in way too much of this. And where's the balance? So that's because we talked about the balance, restoring everything, bringing everything back into balance. And Pia, I want to make sure that after this show is over, that you email me the place where to get the sacred retreat, where to get it in, so I can put it in the YouTube description, because I want to make it easy for people that there's no excuses to get the book. And get started. You know, that's basically it. It's time to go into the inner retreat, because what we were talking about with what it is that you're communicating out, what you're communicating out, it all starts with how you talk to yourself. Everything. It begins with how you communicate with your inner self. And if you communicate with your inner self in the most loving, kind, respectful, honoring way, then that is the way that you're going to communicate with your loved ones. And it starts, you know, with the inner self to the inner circle. And that's where it gets anchored in and solidified. Mm-hmm. And when you have that respect going and everyone is loving and harmonious within the inner circles, within the inner child, within the inner families, when that's going good and you've got that, that's how we're, if all the inner families, you know, had this going, we would be, that's how we're co-creating the new earth.
Speaking of inner families, this is a great manual for coming of age young people, because there's a section in it on how to have proper relationships that are honoring and respectful. It talks about coming of age and instituting new values. And what we're trying to do is not only change ourselves by changing our patterns and learning to slow down, but also demonstrate for the next generation, so it will make a difference in the world. So it's a great gift for a coming of age person too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, one thing our Pleiadian friends Larkma have been telling us personally and speaking publicly and talking to humanity about for the entire time we've been involved with them is the work on the inner planes is more important than anything you can do outside of yourself. If we concentrate and focus on what you said, Cornelia, about truly loving ourselves first, working on our shadows, doing everything we can do to clear and focus the energy of who we are and why we're here, by doing that first, that enables us to be clearer and more able to actually make a difference in the outside world. So many people spend so much of their time working on outer projects, helping every possible negative situation on the planet, poverty, death, all of the things that we see that need help. But if we do that first, before we work on ourselves, we are not going to be as potent. We're not going to be as clear. We're not going to be as successful at doing those outer things until we take care of the inner things. So it's really important, especially today with so much adversity, so many challenges, instead of concentrating on what can I do out there to make this a better place, if we can look inward and try our very best to take care of all the things we need to take care of inside of ourselves, our soul, our spirit, our inner personality, by honing that and by changing that field of energy, we can do so much more outside of ourselves. But we're taught not to do that. We're taught to be out there doing everything we can do for everyone else first. And if we have a tiny bit of energy left, then we can apply that to ourselves. That is absolutely the opposite of how we can make a difference. We need to go inside first and then venture out and do what we can do.
Yeah, and I love everything that you just shared, because this is, I mean, this has been, you know, our journey. I know you all have done this work, you know, all of us that are awake to how to live in the new world, you know, showing the way, that the inner journey has been the most fulfilling. The inner journey has been the most fulfilling, the most healing, the most sacred, the most, you know, connective, the most sweet, and also when sitting with the shadows, painful, and yet the most liberating. So it's the inner journey, and that's where it really begins. And this is how we're walking each other home, each person going in. When you go in and you tend to those places that have never been listened to, that have never been heard, you are then listening for the first time curiously. What is it that you need? What does your body need? What is your soul communicating? What is source saying to you? What is this? And then once you start tending there, that's the strength that you're building from there. And like you said, then we can give from our overflow rather than from a depleted state of always giving, which is, I want to call that the Piscean age of the sacrificial lamb, sacrificing ourselves for, you know, another, when that's not the way to go. And that's always, that's the old programming, that we don't need to sacrifice ourselves to give, because there is an unlimited flow, an eternal flow of giving. But first we have to put that attention, intention back to ourselves and give to ourselves where we haven't been the receiver of it first. Right.
Like all energies, you just mentioned the overgiving with the Piscean age, which is absolutely true and correct. There is a positive side of the Piscean energy also, and that is the very thing we've been talking about, the encouragement to go inward. That's what Pisces brings, is the encouragement to go inward. So there's a balance there that we need to find.
It's interesting when we talk about this subject. So many things come up for me to discuss. By going inward, we can more easily recognize our gifts and talents. If we spend more time on the inside, we can be more connected through our connection with Source, as you said, through our connection with our intuition, and through our connection with our deepest part of our souls. That is where our gifts and talents lie. They are there. And the more we spend cleaning and clearing all of the traumas, all of the things that have confused us, held us back, that have created blockages in us, the more shadow work that we accomplish, that allows us to take the gifts and talents that are there and broadcast them out in a much greater way, a much more powerful way. And that is the goodness of bringing the essence of each one of us, because we all have different gifts and talents. We all have different things to share, and we all have different healing things that we can bring out of ourselves to help others. But those will only have the light shown on them by doing the inner work. And then we utilize all of that great, great ability to help everyone, to help the world, the universe, every energy everywhere. And people don't seem to understand that the gifts and talents aren't just part of our exterior personality. They come from a deep, deep place within us.
Again, it's that deep well. It's that simplicity, that deep well, that going inward, bringing that balance, bringing that curiosity, being curious about your talents and your gifts. I love that. And that's really where it begins. It begins in you, in each person. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed by life about how fast everything is speeding up, this is the time now to shift that pattern in your life and, you know, start the journey inward. So Pia, you were talking earlier, you mentioned China. I want to bring it up. So you guys are doing a lot of work in China now. You mentioned that, and that your book is also translated in China, right? Did you mention that? Did you say that?
Yes, yeah. I did.
So I did hear you correctly. Good. So what's happening over there? I'm curious about.
There's a great spiritual awakening happening in China with a large number of people who are interested in things like the return of the divine feminine, which Sacred Retreat addresses as we return to nature, stepping away from technology and beginning to come back to nature, and also interstellar presences. They are very interested in our Pleiadian friends, Larkma. They want to know about spiritual pursuits. They want to know about spiritual helpers. They're very, very interested in that. So we have quite a bit slated to do with our Chinese audience, which is pretty large, this month and December and January.
Any culture or any society that has been repressed by religion or government, which China has obviously been for decades, and Eastern Europe and Russia in the same way, those cultures, those societies are exceptionally interested in anything about personal growth or spiritual enlightenment or dealing, as Pia just said, dealing with beings from other realms who have wisdom to share. China, Asia, Eastern Europe and Russia are just
hungry.
Perfect word, Pia. They are hungry for this kind of information. And we're finding that the audiences in those countries are really, really, they can't get enough of.
And they're so much fun to work with. They are so open and they are so grateful and they are so eager to connect. It is really a wonderful audience to work with. We've worked with Chinese audiences in the past, but I would say it's growing exponentially now.
I love hearing this. Yeah. I really love hearing this. I mean, I hadn't thought of it in that way. But I love hearing that they are hungry and open, and that they're, that they want to learn and they want to grow spiritually in that way, and that you're having that experience. That's a good sign. It's interesting because next year I'm going to Vietnam to go do, you know, to be part of a retreat over there that someone asked me to come and be a part of. So it's interesting that, you know, now we're really going there to educate and, you know, communicate the spiritual awareness and the inner journey to these people.
Yeah, it's showing us that the whole world actually wants to change. The whole world wants to expand. The whole world wants to evolve. And we're getting this information worldwide. There are so many people that have been so challenged. Their lives have become so confused and so oppressed with many things, religion, government, education, that there is truly an awakening.
There is. We're getting in the last 3 months, I would say, a massive increase in emails and requests for information from Malaysia, Japan, China, India, Pakistan, many, many different places that have not reached out before, are interested in our books, want to know what kind of workshops we're offering, all kinds of things. So it's wonderful to see this awakening happening globally.
You know, Andy, the thing that it is wonderful. So I'm so glad I asked, because this is very much inspiring me also. When you said they're so grateful, you know, I found this with the Spanish culture as well. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the Spanish culture, they're always so grateful to there's just a different energy. What do you think that is? It's different than the Americans. You know, I don't know. Is it, what is that? Why is it so different? I've thought about this so many times. Like, what is the difference here?
I think it's an open heart that really appreciates something new coming into your life. Whereas oftentimes the attitude in America is, well, I expect this.
Yeah, I think Pia is exactly right on this. I think Americans, in many ways, and I don't mean this to be a negative statement. I mean it to be an observational point of view. I think many Americans are jaded by having so much, always having so much in their lives, that they lose track of, or they lose contact with, not taking everything for granted, but actually realizing that there are gifts and there is wisdom in so many things. But because they have so many choices and they've delved into so many different modalities of things, spiritual and otherwise, that sense of gratitude or that sense of gratefulness has just sort of gone by the wayside. And I think other cultures are so happy that they now have access to these pieces of wisdom, these pieces of information that are helping them to open, helping them to grow, that they're just thankful. They're just absolutely thankful that this is available to them.
It's something Americans need to cultivate more than on one day a year, which happens to be celebrated this month. We need to be grateful every day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in America, it feels like there's like, you know, that energy of a sense of entitlement. It's that, you know, that, and that's why I could relate to what you're talking about, because I've seen it in the Spanish culture. Very grateful, very grateful, very grateful. And even in Africa too, with, you know, when the people that I've worked with there as well, very grateful to be receiving support, to receive the gifts, you know, whatever they are. So culturally, but I'm so happy to hear that China and Asia and Russia that this is all opening up, and this is where we can support our brothers and sisters around the world with the gifts that we've been cultivating over here. And hey, you know, if America is so saturated, then hey, let's help each other out in that way. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful, enlightening conversation, as always. Wasn't it interesting? We never really know exactly what we're going to hit on, but this is what happens when intuitively we're guided in the organic life, in the organic conversation. Doesn't need to all be planned out. We don't have to have it all figured out. It's like just to be in the space, to create the space, and then be curious and see what consciousness wants to be shared. What do we want to talk about? What's in our hearts? And I'm getting ringing in my ears right now. It's like, so.
Well, this,
thank you for a wonderful show, Cornelia.
This is a perfect way of understanding synchronicity. Synchronicities just show up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Pia, would you just give us your website? Just speak it out.
Pia Orlean, P-I-A-O-R-L-E-A-N-E, at .com, Pia Orlean.
Gmail.
No, PiaOrlean.com.
Oh.
Good. We got it. And look at the description below, everyone. Like the channel, subscribe to the channel, go get the sacred retreat, and go on your inner curiosity journey to meet your inner self in love and gratitude. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.